On today's show, let's look at three cases for three Cavs as they look to maybe be named to the All-Star team. That is Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, and Jared Allen. Let's dive into all of that today on Locked On Cavs.
You are Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast.
All right, I'm Chris Manning, host of Locked On Cavs, solo episode for me today. Evan's off. This episode, though, is, as always, produced by the one and only Jake Stevens. Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to go get started. And the music heard on the way in is, as always, from our friends at Astral Radio. Okay, so today's show, three segments: Darius Garland in segment one, his All-Star case; segment two, Evan Mobley's All-Star case; and segment three, Jared Allen's All-Star case. But we have to start with a little bit of news, and that's just what Jimmy Bickerstaff had to say at media availability on Wednesday. The framing of it, I think, has been very much, hey, like, let's be positive, let's figure this out, let's kind of make this work. I think that's kind of where you feel like some of this is at. To read some one of the quotes as put out there by Cleveland.com, quote, "We had a conversation with the guys about the reality of where we are. I think in all the noise and the chatter, people forget how much this group has accomplished. There are seven teams that have more than 30 wins in the NBA, and we are one of those teams. None of those teams in the Eastern Conference start a 21-year-old, a 22-year-old, a 23-year-old, a 24-year-old, and a 26-year-old. The teams ahead of us are teams that have been weathered and been through things that have built that. Sometimes I think people want to skip steps getting to where we all want to go. We're not putting a roof on our guys, but what they've accomplished at this age is above and beyond what is standard," end quote. So I think that is all very fair. I will say that. I think what Bickerstaff is outlining there is fair. I think the players, I think the mood after the loss to the Heat on Tuesday was kind of a frustrated group. This was a lump, and they aren't playing their best basketball right now, right? Like, I mean, they do have fewer wins than they did at this amount of games last season, which is kind of weird considering they added Donovan Mitchell and everything. I also think you can just feel like that. I think them just putting up walls a little bit and trying to be a little bit defensive, and I understand that too. And I also really empathize with JB Bickerstaff in this situation because he is the guy that if anyone is going to get flack, if anyone is going to, you know, get angry tweets aimed at them or fan calls into 92 or whatever, it's him. This is the guy that is going to take some of that. Kobe Altman doesn't speak in front of microphones. Most president of basketball operations don't on a regular basis. Some fans will get mad at players, but like for the most part, you know, people aren't going to get mad at Donovan Mitchell or blame Donovan Mitchell or blame Darius Garland or blame Evan Mobley or blame Jared Allen. Like, they're going to get mad at the coach. That is the guy you go after, and he takes on a lot of the brunt of that and feels a lot of that. And he's right in saying this isn't easy, but I also feel like this is just kind of a team that is in fifth place in the East that is dealing with some things and they're navigating as best they can. Let's leave Bickerstaff at that, though, and move on to All-Star stuff. Darius Garland is the first guy we're going to talk to. All-Star reserves are going to be announced, and it's time, I think, for us to look at if they could be, any of these Cavs have realistic chances of getting in there. Garland, I think, is the place to start because I think he has the best case. Now, this is going to be really competitive. I think for all these guys, Mobley, for Garland, for Allen, you have to remember that this is going to be a highly competitive field. Two backcourt slots, three frontcourt slots, two wild cards. There's some guys that I think are absolute locks for some of these slots. I think most notably Joel Embiid in the frontcourt. Garland of the three, I think, really does have best, most substantial case. His numbers last year on a team that I think is viewed as more of a contender are very much similar. Look, his percentage is down a little bit on two point percentage, which if we have to pick nits here is a little bit going to hurt his case a little bit, right? That is just the reality of doing this exercise, is a little bit of a decrease in the spot. Plus, like, you know, missing some time due to some weird injuries is going to kind of make look at his case in that way. I think his best stretch of games have really come lately. Sans Zadik game, where he wasn't particularly good. He has had some great kind of peak Darius Garland games recently, with the passing looking great, the everything just kind of looking in under control under his watch. And I think that just the level he's playing at, the level he has really established for himself, is very much in the all-star discussion. This is a guy that I think in certain other years would be kind of like a lock. And like, if you favor him over some of the other guys in this class, in this group for all-star front backcourt and in the wildcard, so I can't really blame you. I have not, in reading a bunch of the different people kind of outlining their ballots at like SI or the Washington Post or wherever, he has not been on a lot of lists, which I find kind of interesting. I don't know what that's worth. I mean, I think Ramona Shelburne, when she was on the Low Post, was kind of the most notable person to say like, hey, I voted for Garland, and that was as a starter with Mitchell. I don't know if I would have gone there, but I think like he is very much in this conversation. And this conversation is really much as much about the other guys he's going to be going against here. So you have Tyrese Haliburton, I think, has to be an all-star for Indiana. Look, the season he's having has been awesome. He's injured. Maybe he doesn't play in the all-star game, or just someone gets hurt and that opens up a slot. But like, Haliburton has to be in there. Jalen Brunson, I think, is right there as well from the Knicks. Although I think it's worth noting that in a lot of the advanced metrics, Garland is favored over Brunson. I think that counts for something. He's had a really big scoring season, though, and that dude is awesome. I think James Harden is having a kind of an underrated season, which is a weird thing to say. And just like, it's weird to be like a Harden guy in this moment, but I'm not historically like the biggest Harden guy, but this is an all-star caliber season he's having for a really good Philly team. He's got to be in there, I think. You get into some of the other names, it's like Jaylen Brown, like, I probably has to be in there. He's having a phenomenal season. You know, Jimmy Butler, DeMar DeRozan, Drew Holiday in this conversation. I think Trae Young is out there on the edge of the conversation, but he's in the conversation. So this could come down to taste. This could come down to what guys respect and who they want. And based on his numbers compared this year to last year, based on just the film, I don't think Garland has really had like a worse season by any means. I think he deserves to be on any, if he's cut, it should be one of the absolute final cuts. I think if it was up to me, I think he would get in. It's not up to me, though. I think if there are 15 slots, this is like an absolute guy that should be a lock for All-Star, but it's not a lock. This is going to be really competitive. It would not shock me if he doesn't make it. It wouldn't shock me if he does make it. The guard spots are really competitive. There's a lot of good guys here. He's having a great season, and sometimes having a great season doesn't guarantee you get in the All-Star game. Ask Mike Conley for the amount of time it took him to make one freaking All-Star game in the Western Conference as a point guard. This is a really competitive thing to get into, and I think Garland is right there, and we'll see, you know, if he gets in. The public kind of voting on this kind of makes me think maybe he's not. Maybe he's a replacement, but I think he absolutely deserves the long... I think of these three, this is the Cav that deserves the longest look, and I don't really even think that's particularly close. All right, we're going to come back. We're going to go into Evan Mobley next, who maybe isn't having the all-star season you would have maybe hoped for as he ascends in his second season. But we'll talk about what his case looks like, who he's competing against, and all of that coming up in segment two. But first, got to tell you about a great sponsor. Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel. This year, the only app you need is your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. We're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they're the number one sportsbook in America, FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sport fun and easy. Download FanDuel now so you can get a free Super Bowl 57 bet with a no sweat first bet. You get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. Right now, they have the Eagles as 1.5-point favorites in the Super Bowl. The FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. Look, FanDuel is a great app. It's really easy to use. It has everything you're looking for in a sportsbook app. And if you're an NBA fan specifically, and you probably are if you're listening to Locked On Cavs, they offer no-sweat sim game parlays on Thursday for TNT national televised games. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/LockedOn to claim your no-sweat first bet at Super Bowl 57, that FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. our second segment of the show today. Let's look at Evan Mobley. So I think right off the bat, and I think this goes for the Jared Allen discussion as well, so some of this will kind of be looked at again here. The front court is just going to be really competitive. There are very limited slots here, and I think there are guys that are just locks. Joel Embiid from the 76ers is a lock. He probably should have started. He probably should be a starter. This is, to me, either the MVP front runner or the second behind Jokic right now in the MVP race. I kind of think he should start over Giannis, if I'm being honest, based on their bodies of work so far this season. I think Embiid has been incredible. That is one spot in the front court gone. You go to Bam Adebayo next. People saw him in Cleveland the other night, watched that game. This dude is a two-way monster. I think he's having an All-NBA season. For me right now, it is him or Domantas Sabonis from the Kings for third-team All-NBA center. He's having a really phenomenal season. Julius Randle is in there as well for the Knicks. I think he's has the best case of any Knick. He's closer to his 2021 All-NBA season this year. Pascal Siakam from Toronto is in there as well. This, though, ends up being more, I think, about Evan Mobley. I think Evan Mobley, his case kind of stalls out because he hasn't taken that offensive leap that is maybe much needed for him to get an All-Star level this year. He has improved. I think, like, the numbers tell you he has improved, and there is improvement in what he's done. He's at 59.8% on two-pointers for the year. That's being at 54% last season. He is averaging a few more, like a 0.3 points per game, 8.9 rebounds versus 8.3. His last 10 games, he's actually had maybe the best run he has had of the entire season, in my mind. He's up to like 19.5 points per game over that stretch. His assist to turnover ratio is a little out of whack there when it's been a positive for most career. But, you know, he's having like a really, really positive offensive presence the last 10 games, highlighted by, you know, the Rockets game and some of these games where he's looked really improved and comfortable on the offensive end, shooting nearly 60% from the fields in those games. Rebounds a little bit up as well. Assists, you know, still getting two and a half a game. Block and a half a steal a game. So like every other game he's picking up a steal. Like, this is a guy that is still doing really, really positive things. Is it just at the level of some of the other guys in the front court, though? It just isn't right now if you look at the full body of work. Where his case, I think his strongest case from, if you had to make one, is from his defense. I think he's having an all defense level season. I think Jared Allen is as well to some degree, but Allen is kind of playing this one note that is really important. That is rim protection. That is stuff paint. He does switch and he's good at it. But Mobley, I think, is even better at the switching. The Cavs trust him to go do the Jimmy Butler thing he did the other night and kind of eat up that space. He is doing kind of everything you would like need to ask him to do on the defensive end, and he's really, really succeeding at it. There are few players, I think, that have proven to be as versatile, as skilled on that end of the floor. And that is going to get him, I think, in the conversation for all defense at the end of the year. I think that is like a real leap for Mobley in some sense. And I do wonder, if you were to say, okay, Donovan Mitchell trade doesn't happen and they look for an offensive way to grow, you know, maybe Lauri Markkanen is still in Cleveland and, you know, he has something resembling the leap, you know, he has with the Jazz this year, where Lauri Markkanen is going to be an all-star and like a very deserving one at that. He's having a phenomenal season. If you have not watched him play much or haven't at all, go watch him play. He's having like a really, really grown, like even beyond what he was in Cleveland. But if you were the Cavs and you were kind of looking at, okay, what is the way we could evolve our offense if without Donovan Mitchell in that alternate reality on that Earth 2 or whatever, it would have been Evan Mobley, and maybe that leads him on that path to kind of having that leap on the offensive, and that gets him more in the All-Star discussion. This is a guy whose usage rate has gone down. He is, you know, like barely averaging more points, and that's really somewhat because of this recent run of averaging almost 20 a game. I think he's better on offense. You know, the three-point shot hasn't come along either, but I think he is a better offensive player than he was last year. But it is not getting him to the level of, you know, what Embiid is doing, obviously, but not Bam, you know, not Siakam, you know, not Julius Randle right now, not Jaylen Brown. Like, any of these guys that are maybe in the front quarter in that wild card race, if they aren't in the first positions, that's who he's competing against. And that's a really high bar. He's still really good. He's still really, really intriguing. But he hasn't got up to that level yet. And that doesn't mean he won't, right? Like, that doesn't mean he won't. He is going to be at the All-Star game. He is one of the absolute guys to watch among the group that's going to be part of the Rising Stars night on Saturday night. He's going to be, I think, in multiple All-Star games next year. If you had to ask me right now, is he an All-Star next year? I would say yes. I think he absolutely can be and could be next year. Coming into the year, one of the things I thought is that the Cavs were going to probably have three All-Stars again. It was going to be him, Garland, and Mitchell. It looks like I'm going to be wrong about that. They might only get one. They might only get Mitchell. But Mobley is going to be a guy that's going to be in this conversation for years to come. It's year two. They got Mitchell. That changed his offensive trajectory. That changed the way his All-Star case was going to be made. He's still really good. He has improved. It is just not in the way that I think is going to get him into the All-Star game. I am curious of these guys, and Allen as well. I'm curious to see if they do show up on any ballots, though, and see what, especially among their peers, what do the peers think of Mobley? What do the peers think of Allen? You know, what do they think of Garland? I'm curious to see how they view these guys among themselves and see how they kind of think of them as All-Star candidates. So, look, Mobley's going to make one in the future. It's just a really packed year, and he hasn't had the offensive loop to get there. That is the take-home message on Evan Mobley's All-Star case. All right, one more break. We're going to come back, and we're going to dive into Jared Allen, who I think is taking a little bit of a step back from last year, and that's probably going to cost him in the All-Star race. But let's talk about that after this. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. To play, all you have to do is pick 2 to 5 players, and if they go score more or less than their Prize Picks projections, you win. You can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. You're not competing against other people. This is just you versus the projections available. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch. This includes NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football, men's college basketball, women's college basketball, soccer, WNBA, esports, NASCAR, tennis, MMA, boxing, disc golf, Euro basketball, cricket, and more. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It is that easy. This offers safe and fast withdrawals. It is currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter the promo code Locked On at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. All right, last segment of Locked On Cavs for today. Let's look at Jared Allen. Jared Allen is in the same discussion as Mobley in this sense because the East front court is jam-packed. He has Embiid. He has Bam, who are healthy and playing at a really high level. There's Randall, who's having a great year. Like, there are just a lot of guys in his position that are kind of jockeying for all-star consideration. He is absolutely one of the guys that gets kind of pushed down the list a little bit. He's not, and look, if you're looking just centers in the East, you know, he's not at that Bam all NBA level. He is not kind of in that spot this year. He just hasn't, I think, been there this year. And look, I don't think Jared Allen has been quite as good as he was last year either when he was an all-star, when he did represent Cleveland in Cleveland on All-Star weekend. He is still an elite defender. He is still kind of one of the better rim protectors in the league who doesn't foul a lot. That hasn't really changed. The overall impact stats will rate him out as a little bit worse on that end of the floor. His true shooting is down a little bit as well, so is his effective field goal percentage. I think if you look through the numbers, you look through the shot charts, a big reason for that might be that he's down this year to 35% on long mid-range shots. He was at 58% on those shots last year. He's taking a little bit more of them from that range this year as well. These are those elbow to a little bit behind the elbow jumpers teams are daring him to take. He's not making those right now. And that's a shot he kind of added to his repertoire last year in addition to some of the post-up stuff. And, you know, he's not maybe getting as many of those post-up opportunities as well with Mitchell in tow. So that kind of takes away some of his offensive shine as well, some of that utility he was going to provide. He's just been a slightly worse version of Jared Allen. He's still a very good player. Like, you could make a real case for him for all defense. The on-off numbers for my defense really paint a very strong picture of him. His rim protection numbers are awesome. You know, I think there's a reason that a lot of the data you can look at kind of suggest he is more integral to the Cavs defense than Mobley in some ways just because of his rim protection. But if you're picking at the margins here, I think Allen's a little bit behind his all-star year last year. He's been not quite as good. He has not quite just been the same exact guy was last year. It's a slight step back, but it's like he's 90 to 95% of what he was last year versus the 100% maximum version that he was last year. That probably keeps him out of the All-Star game. That probably keeps him not going to Utah, not going to represent Cleveland this year, and the Cavs really might end up with one All-Star. I am going to, as for final predictions on All-Stars for the Cavs, I think Mitchell obviously is going to start and end his in. I'm going to predict that Garland does get in. I'm going to be an optimist here. I'm going to say Garland does get in. I think it's going to be really competitive, but this is a really good player on a good team. The body of work, I think, is very strong for him. The case is there for him. If you look at it, I think he's going to get in. I do not think Allen or Mobley do. I think this is going to be two All-Stars, the same number as last year. It could only be one. I would brace yourself if you're putting emotional energy into this to being just one. They'll still be represented at, you know, Mobley be there Saturday, all of that stuff. And this is really competitive. I want to stress again that this is just a super competitive thing. There are 12 slots. There are guys that should be starters like Embiid that just aren't, just based on fan voting. It takes up slots. The talent pool in the NBA right now is as deep as it has been in a long, long time. You have to be like really, really high end to be in the All-Star consideration, to be in All-NBA consideration. I think the guys the Cavs have are, you know, for Garland, he's the closest to getting in this. I think he will, just to predict it. I don't think Allen or Mobley will. And it's just there's little things that kind of hold them back from being there all the way. So final predictions, Darius Garland will join Donovan Mitchell in Utah. Allen and Mobley will not, although Mobley will be there on Saturday for Rising Star. So technically he will be there for All-Star Weekend. And I'm going to go on the record next year and say that Evan Mobley is going to be an All-Star for next season when the game is in Indianapolis. So year three, Evan Mobley will make an All-Star team for the first time. All right, that is going to be it for Locked On Cavs for Thursday, February 2nd. I'm Chris Manning. Thanks again for everyone tuning in on this solo episode of Locked On Cavs. Evan will be back tomorrow. We are going to recap Cavs Grizzlies, which takes place 7:30 p.m. at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. Cavs look to bounce back from the Heat loss on Tuesday and also that loss they had in Memphis when they were on that little road trip that left, I think, a sour taste in their mouth. We'll see how they do. Memphis is notably going to be on the second night of a back-to-back, so maybe the Cavs get a little break from the scheduling gods there and are able to get a good win at home. Thanks again for making Locked On Cavs your first listen every day. This episode was produced by Jake Stevens. Back tomorrow, same time, same place. Out of here.